It's the return of our friend Zachary Levi coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. Also, Holly Holm, former UFC champion, is going to be on the program later on today. And we're going to give away that, as we mentioned, that brand new Honda and the 21 Pilots coming to your house just after 7 o'clock. Beer mug in location, you guys. It's going to be knocking on somebody's door. It's going to be very exciting.
Unless no one answers.
Unless
and then
no
it's
one
going
answers.
To be completely better.
Yeah, it's really going to be a
big plus. Leave them a note, bugs.
First, though. Huntington Beach, you guys, one of the most beautiful places in all of Southern California. I'll tell you something, man. If I could live anywhere in Southern California, I think I might choose Huntington Beach.
I feel like that's the way most people feel.
Yeah,
so why do they need a new slogan? Their slogan is Surf City.
Yeah,
Surf City.
Why would you need a new
that's
one?
That's perfect.
They are famous around the world as being Surf City. And they still thought, you know what? It doesn't tell the whole story. So they commissioned a group out of Texas to do some research and come up with a new slogan. And they have unveiled it as the Soul of SoCal. Again, the Soul of SoCal. It doesn't exactly come off the tongue like Surf City does.
Surf City seems perfect.
It is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But look, what do we know? We don't know anything about anything. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to about this? And I think we have Carl Ellsworth on the phone. He is with the Capital Advertising Corporation. Mr. Ellsworth, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are the one who came up with, or your company came up with, the Soul of SoCal.
And that's Capital Advertising. We came up with it, the Soul of SoCal.
And it looks like it costs...
The Soul of SoCal.
Right.
Looks like
that
awesome? It sounds great. The Soul of SoCal.
Well, you sound enthusiastic while saying it, but it says that it was a long and quantitative and qualitative research process that cost the city around $35,000.
Yeah, they got off cheap.
Really?
Cheap.
Yeah, come on. We do great work. We're Capital. Capital Advertising. The Soul of SoCal.
SoCal. But, Carl, very few people call it SoCal, and no one really says the soul of anything.
Ah, come on. Come on, my soul brother. Yeah.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. Soul. You don't really think of one of the whitest cities in the U.S.
Oh, racist.
As,
I see.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay, racist.
How much soul does Huntington Beach have?
All of it. It's the soul of SoCal. Have you heard or not? But Huntington Beach is the soul of SoCal.
I don't. Define soul.
The soul of SoCal.
You just keep saying
it. The soul. The soul is the part of the inside of you where love lives. That's your soul, lady.
Where love lives. Okay. What about
I'm
that? That's better.
One, but Huntington Beach is the soul of SoCal.
Right.
Okay.
You saying it is not going to mean it's going to catch on.
We
that people
work
are
long and hard on the soul of SoCal. And people love it.
Okay. But what was wrong with Surf City USA?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with Surf City USA. If it's 1957, all right, Jan and Dean, why don't you go get in your Woody and put on your baggies and go down to Surf City, you old bastards. It's a new world. It's the soul of SoCal.
Mr. Ellsworth, when you're trying to come up with a new slogan,
yes.
do you come up with 100 of them and then just choose...
We're a company. We don't just slap this stuff on a bumper sticker and sell it to somebody.
It sounds like you just slapped it on.
We work hard and long on the soul of SoCal.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mike Love and Brian Wilson.
But this was the best. This is the best one you can come up with.
Of course it's the best one. We give a bunch of choices. Listen, the problem is people aren't going to the beach anymore. You know why? Because, look out, it's bad for you. Oh, don't go here. Don't go there. Oh, the sun. Oh, the surf. Oh, the water's polluted. Oh, it's dangerous. We had to get people excited about the sand and the surf again, about the sun. You know, it's not easy. How about, we went through plenty. I'm trying to get people to forget about all the dangers, like Huntington Beach. Melanoma? Melayesma?
Yeah, that's not good.
How about that one? Don't worry about the sun.
Okay.
Get out there. Honey, the beach. Get some sand in your crack. How about that one?
Okay.
That's a slogan.
Right.
Doesn't
okay.
seem like a good one.
You know,
positive.
Honey, the beach got a lot of aquatic life. We're trying to play off of that for a while. Hey, here's a new T-shirt. I got crabs in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Crab City, USA.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Pass.
Listen, how do you stand out when you're a beach in Southern California? How many beaches are in Southern California?
Quite a few.
There's like three. There's a lot of beaches.
I think there's a lot more than three.
I don't know anything about it. I'm in Texas.
Okay.
But, all right, we use this one. Huntington Beach. Less use syringes than Santa Monica.
Well.
Right? If you're going to make a choice, you got a beach with a lot of syringes and a beach with no syringes.
Right.
Which one are you going to pick?
Probably no.
No syringes.
The soul of SoCal. How about this one? Huntington Beach. We still might have sex with Taylor Swift. We made that beach famous. We ran that past Taylor Swift earlier, and she was fine with it. She loved it. And if they happen to know, we've got a mascot, too. Honey, the Beach has a mascot.
A mascot?
What? Yeah. The soul of SoCal's mascot is Mike the Beach Ball. Mike the Beach Ball. He's around here someplace. Is Mike Huntington around here? Huntington. Huntington, are you around? Where's Mike Huntington?
Yeah, that
I feel like.
He has a last name?
Yeah, Mike Huntington.
Okay. I'm going to do a focus group on that.
Right.
For some reason, they didn't like that one.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have been big fans for a long time. They are among the hardest working groups on the road today for years. They've been crisscrossing this country, doing their own shows and opening for others. They are ex-ambassadors, ladies and gentlemen. They are here.
Thank you so much.
Morning, you guys.
Morning.
Morning.
So we saw you last at the Weenie Roast last summer, and somebody said, hey, when are we going to get on the Kevin and Bean Show? And boom, just like magic, here we are almost a year later, and here you are.
This is Adam's dream come true.
Yeah, so I grew up listening to this show as a kid. I had an hour-long bus commute every day from school for 12 years. And I would always listen to Kevin and Bean. And your radio was just stuck on Kevin and Bean? Just the one station? That was the only station I could get.
Oh, that is devastating.
Devastating.
Well, thank you for that, Adam. We appreciate that. We're happy to have you guys. So so much has happened for you, and I know that for a lot of people it seems like, oh, ex-ambassadors, they just came out of nowhere and just took over. But how does it feel to you? Does it feel like a long slog to get to where you are, or has it been incremental for you, or does it feel like there was a moment where it just exploded?
I mean, it has been a long slog. I think that the bands popping up instantly and being an instant success is more just a phenomenon of what, people's misconceptions are. I mean, people probably think the Black Keys just suddenly popped up and won a Grammy, but they
had like five albums before most people heard of them, right?
And we've been playing together as a band for, almost 10 years now, man. And, we've done a lot of slogging along that way. But it has been sort of, honestly, over the last year, really, I mean, basically since we dropped our album that, all of a sudden, mainly the main difference we've noticed is we're on the road now constantly. I think we've had at most like 6 or 7 days at home at a stretch, and that's a long time now for us. So we're working our asses off these days, man.
Yeah. So if that's the case, though, does that mean in some ways you haven't been able to just pause and reflect and enjoy the success so far because you're still working so hard?
Not at all. Yeah, we haven't had a minute to really be able to look back on everything that's happened in the last year and say, wow, it's all been such a whirlwind.
We tend to look forward, honestly, like as amazing as all, the success has been, to us it really sort of feels like just the, like the first step on the road. Like now we have a platform, now we can, start really building the band, and I think we're, we probably could do with a little reflection, but I think we're all just always looking toward the future, man.
And tell me if I'm dead wrong on this, but I get the same vibe from you guys live and the way your fans react to you as I do with Imagine Dragons, a band that kind of started off and everybody realized, man, this live show is something to see. And word of mouth spreads town to town. And every time you go back, you draw a bigger audience. And I kind of feel that's what's happening with ex-ambassadors is every time you play a city, you're playing a bigger venue. I mean, you're playing the Wiltern tonight, for God's sakes. I mean, that's a big deal in L.A.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, we built ourselves as a live band, that is before, Renegades and stuff took off at radio. That was the way we would promote. That was our main, avenue of promotion, was just opening for other bands or going to play shows on our own to not many people, but, just like slowly building it. And so, we've really put in the work in the live show, and it's really prepared us for this moment.
What's the smallest number of people you think ex-ambassadors has ever played to? And what's the largest crowd they've ever played
zero?
To?
Zero?
We've played to zero people before.
Really?
Yeah. At St. John's University.
But they loved it, well. I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a great crowd. Yeah.
But no one left disappointed.
Yeah.
The promoter left about halfway through the set. He was the one person there. And then that was the first paying gig we ever had. Yeah. So we were
And there was not
excited.
A single paying customer.
Zero.
No. That's fantastic.
It was in like a dorm like common room. Yeah, you know how dorms have like the downstairs like lobby
right.
with like a
like the resident
ping
area.
Pong table.
Yeah.
So it was really just a rehearsal is all it was. If there's nobody there to see it.
A depressing rehearsal.
Yeah. All right. And how about the biggest gig you've played so far? And I know you've got festivals coming up this summer, but how what's the largest crowd you've ever played for?
It's, you know, that one is actually slightly tougher to say. I can tell you the largest crowd we've played for headlining, but we've done a lot of opening gigs. We recently did a whole tour opening for Muse, and those venues are massive.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't really tell as the opener how much, you know, usually the stadium is not full by the time you go on, and it's hard to tell how full it is, you know, while you're playing, especially because those shows were in the round, so you're only really able to see one quarter of the crowd at once.
Conservatively, I'd say probably the biggest crowd we've played to is 18,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were named to the Lollapalooza lineup. When you do a festival like that, if it's over a few days, are you ever able to go and watch bands that you've always wanted to see?
Yeah, sometimes.
Or do you have to get in, get out?
Sometimes.
So we did the first time we went to Lollapalooza, we did, and it was amazing. We got to see a bunch of bands, but that was back sort of before our schedule got as crazy as it is.
Right.
And now this summer, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have, you know, at least, you know, one day at each festival that we're not playing or doing promo, but, you know, I have a feeling that there is going to be a lot of that sort of rolling.
I think Lollapalooza we're actually... I think we will have some time.
Yeah, I think we have a private gig before it starts. So
I think that's like the only one that we have. It's funny, yeah, because Casey's right. Most of the time we don't really have time. But I have to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I have to see Radiohead.
Yep.
Chili Peppers were like the gods to me when I was in middle school and high school, and they really were a huge, huge influence on me.
That's a perk I don't think about very often about being in a band is all the shows you get to see because you're on the bill. But that ultimately, if you had to buy tickets for all these festivals,
oh yeah, exactly.
Plus, you'd be on Ticketmaster all the time waiting for them to go up at 10 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the band X Ambassadors in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're going to be walking down the hall in a minute and performing live at the Red Bull Sound Space. I want to ask you about a couple of other songs while we have you guys here. And one of them is a little song called American Oxygen.
Yeah.
Tell me the story of that song that became a huge hit for Rihanna. I was watching that video last night. She's had over 63 million views on that song.
Wow.
That you guys wrote with her, right?
Yeah, so I worked on the song with her and with Alex the Kid. And it took us about a year to write that. Now, Alex is our producer as well, and we're with his label, with Kid in the Corner and Interscope. And... So,
were you guys friends, or was this a writer-for-hire situation?
Well, it was just... It started out as a song that we were just working on between us and Alex, and we came up with this chorus. Him and I came up with this chorus, and then he brought it to Rihanna. He brought it to her and her team, and she loved it. And then from there... Collectively, we wrote verses together, and then the song was born.
And how crazy is that for you when it comes on the radio, though? In a million years, when
I
you
never
were
hear it. I never hear it.
Really?
You know, it's so funny. I never hear it on the radio. I've heard it once or twice in like weird places. I heard it once when we were in Berlin on the
That's
radio
a
when
weird
I was like
experience.
Walking past. It was like a shawarma place was playing it or something. Yeah. It's really cool, and you know, I'm very proud of my writing on that one, and I'm very proud of what we made together.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
And the other one I want to ask you about, because I think this might be flying under the radar for a lot of K-Rock audience, and that is the album From the Knox. That is one of my favorite things out right now. And you guys have they're a producing team, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have a song on there called Comfortable. Tell me about that, because that's great too.
We actually did that one a while ago. That was like almost like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago or something.
But
like
it just came out on their album.
But
though,
just came out on their album, and it's just a funky jam, man. Like I love those guys. I love the Knox. We all kind of came up together in New York, and were, you know, we knew each other in college, and they were always like DJing some cool party that I couldn't get into, so I jumped at the opportunity to write with them, and we ended up coming up with this cool funky jam together. And
well, I want the after you guys finish playing here in a few minutes, I want everybody to turn off the Kevin and Bean Show and turn on your Spotify or whatever and bring that Knox album up, because it's great, and it has my
really
girlfriend
great.
Carly Rae Jepsen on it.
Oh,
too.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a great album. So
she talks about you all the time.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. Glad to hear that.
Sam, please.
All right, ex-ambassadors. They're playing the Wiltern tonight. I understand as of when this was generated, there were just a few seats left, so you might try to squeak in and see their great live show. It's at LiveNation.com, and then you guys are just all over the place. I mean, it looks like your schedule for spring and summer is just booked.
Yeah, we're gone till – when are we gone till?
I think we have like 2 weeks off in August, at the end of August.
Did you set up somebody to feed your cats before you left home? Because I'm concerned at this
cats
point.
Cats have all died.
Oh, this took a turn.
Yeah. Way to end on a bummer note, you guys. Well, you've been so great to K-Rock with your time over the past year or so. We've loved having you on our shows. I hope we get a chance to see you again, and congratulations on all your success. No one deserves it more. And we'll see you down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space. We'll play some music here.
All right. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, you guys. Ex-ambassadors, everybody.
Thanks.
The only one applauding, but I had fun.
Appreciate it.
A very special Friday morning here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We always love it when bands stop by to perform live, particularly when they're nice ones like ex-ambassadors who are here playing the Wiltern tonight. Just a few seats left if you want to check them out, LiveNation.com. They're in the Red Bull Sound Space. What are you guys going to play for us first right now?
We're going to do a song called Renegades.
I think that's an excellent choice. Take it away. Gentlemen, come on with the ex-ambassadors in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. That sounded fantastic, you guys. Casey, I love watching you play that piano, too. That's amazing work there. All right, the band's playing the Wiltern tonight. The album is available everywhere. It is called VHS. I think we got time to squeeze in one more, if you guys do.
Yeah, totally. We're going to do a song called Unsteady next.
Love it. Ex-ambassadors on K-Rock.
Thank you. beautiful.
Hold on to me, 'cause I'm a little unsteady, little unsteady. Hold on, hold on to me, 'cause I'm a little unsteady, little unsteady.
Ambassadors, Sam singing, Casey playing the keyboards. We really appreciate you coming by. We know that this is the opposite of the time that you are used to performing live, so I appreciate you doing that, and it sounded so great. Have fun at the Wiltern. Have a fantastic spring if we don't see you again. Ex-Ambassadors, thanks so much for coming by, K-Rock. You just can't go bringing your dogs into a country without permission, Kevin.
Right, but how big a deal is it?
Here's how big a deal it is. Last year, when Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard went to Australia, I think he was down there to film maybe some pirates. They brought their dogs with them on their private plane.
Right.
And when it was revealed that the dogs were in the country and they did not have the proper paperwork, the government of Australia freaked the F out. Agriculture Minister Barnaby Rose issued a 72-hour ultimatum to the couple to get the dogs out of the country or they would be put down. Johnny Depp's dogs. Put down, I tell you.
That seems like
extreme.
A bit of an overreaction, maybe.
I mean, look, I understand that you want to have some control over
right.
what diseases are brought into the country.
So you find them or whatever, and
right.
everything's fine.
And you take a blood test and you go, hey, your dogs are fine.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So anyway, so there was a talk that Amber Heard was going to have to go to jail for this, but apparently this week, finally, months later, they worked out some sort of a deal. I think there was a fine, but Johnny and Amber were also asked to make an apology video. And for if you've seen the video online, it frankly doesn't look like they're very invested in this
performance. Oh, you're wrong. They put their heart and soul into this one.
So how believable are they talking about the great country of Australia?
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
What's his accent?
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
He's so just angry that he has to do this.
Look, we had to do customers. What was the thing we had to do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Community service. We had to do community service. So you know what it's like. You don't do it with a smile on your face.
No.
You do it like, I can't believe I have to do this. And that's what happened to Johnny Depp in the video. But at least he and his wife are not going to jail. At least Pistol and Boo are fine.
All right.
There is a happy ending here. And we thought we'd catch up with Mr. Depp on the phone and find out more about the story. Hey, Johnny, welcome back to K-Rock, sir.
Hello, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Are you glad that this legal drama is finally over down under?
Yes. Australia's a wonderful island.
Yeah, we heard that. That video doesn't seem like you're really putting your heart into it.
That's not true.
Okay.
I love Australia.
It's not an enthusiastic endorsement the way you deliver the lines.
Australia's the greatest country in the world.
Right, but you sound like a guy who there is a gun on your head just off camera.
That's not true. We're very sorry we took our dogs to Australia without following the proper procedure.
Our thing is really how much trouble could that have caused?
Well, they wanted to kill the dogs.
They did want to put the dogs down.
A completely reasonable response to what we did was to murder two small Yorkshire Terriers. The War on Terrier.
War on Terrier.
Of course.
So
Australians are completely reasonable.
Reasonable people.
Intelligent people who respond appropriately when some minor rule is broken in their country.
Okay, but now that it's done,
they're wonderful people.
Right, but now that you're off the hook.
The island is magical, and they fart unicorns.
They fart unicorns?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
That's nice.
But you don't have to say these things anymore. The case has been dismissed. It's settled. Mm-hmm. You're free to travel to and from Australia. What's the real, how do you really feel about Australia?
According to my lawyers, I could not be happier with the island of Australia.
That's part of the deal, Bean.
I believe that they are a wonderful, magical people, and rumors of the stink that emanates from them is greatly over-exaggerated.
It is. Okay. What stink?
The stench of stale beer, cigarette smoke, and didgeridoo spit.
And that's not true.
That is greatly overstated.
Right, because that would be an unpleasant thing.
That would be unpleasant.
Right.
I love Australia more than anything.
Do you?
It's my favorite. It's my favorite hellhole. and to celebrate, I'd like to play their national anthem.
Okay.
Wow, this is quite a tribute.
Just one note, though.
Doesn't sound like you're really playing a song as much as you're just blowing into a horn. Johnny?
That was pretty sweet.
Johnny?
Bring it home.
Should we just hang up, or?
On the national anthem of Australia?
That would be rude.
You want to be in their crosshairs?
Are we done, Mr. Depp? Do you have to go?
Is this part of your sentence? It's a terrible national anthem.
It's not great.
Australia, their national instrument sounds like a rhinoceros farting.
Florida, the penis of America.
That is correct, Alec Baldwin. Hit it, Steve.
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
This week's What's Up with Florida really leaves me with more questions than answers. I have so many thoughts on the people in Florida and the decisions that they make. And we start with the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office, who last Wednesday around 5 p.m. responded to a complaint call from the Palencia Burger King. Witnesses there saw a confrontation of a man working at Burger King in an argument with patrons in the restaurant. It turned out he had just been fired. He walked outside, took his Burger King uniform off in the parking lot, and set it on fire.
All right.
He's 3 feet from the gas line to the restaurant.
Oh.
You're not going to believe that this story doesn't end with him and everyone in the Burger King getting exploded. The restaurant does not catch fire. That's not how this story ends. But why is that your reaction to getting fired, is to go out in the parking lot, strip down to your underwear, and set your uniform on fire?
You're mad that you got fired?
But is that how you respond to being mad, that you're on fire? He left the restaurant.
Sometimes.
He left the restaurant, by the way. Deputies found the man at his home. He started yelling and cussing at the deputy, who was there to question him about the incident at the Burger King. The deputy ended up having to use a taser when the man turned away and attempted to run. He was arrested, charged with disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, and damage to property under $200. I can't imagine that that's the conclusion that you come to. What about this guy, Michael Gilman, 28. He's from DeLand, Florida. Police say he called 911 multiple times on Saturday to talk about random topics such as Hitler and Jews. He has been charged with misuse of the 911 system. He called the 911 number 5 times in 5 hours and was repeatedly told to not call unless it was an emergency.
So he'd call and say, hey, what's up with Hitler?
Yes. <that's- laughs> A DeLand police officer was sent to the man's home on Becca Lane, where he heard that Gilman was still on the line with the dispatcher talking about the war. The officer asked Gilman what he was doing. He said that, hey, I'm talking to your dispatcher because I'm bored. He was arrested and taken to the county jail. I guess there are people who think, I really feel like talking to somebody on the phone, but I don't have any friends or nobody's home or I don't know anybody. Oh, 911. They always answer.
That's really sad.
Here's a guy, and I want you guys to see if you can help me figure out what really happened, because I'm having trouble believing his story. 9:30 p.m. a couple of nights ago, Monroe County Sheriff's Deputy Seth Hopp answers a call about a report of a suspicious vehicle parked near Sombrero Beach. The man, the police officer sent a unit out there, and they found a 1997 Lincoln Continental. All four doors were open, but there was no one near the car and nobody in sight. As the police officers drew close, they started to hear a knocking coming out of the closed trunk.
What?
They opened the trunk, and it was 32-year-old Rob Moore from Marathon, Florida. The police officer said, I opened the trunk, and a male emerged. The man said that after going for a walk on the beach, he couldn't find his keys. He was looking for his keys to the vehicle, and he accidentally fell in the trunk while searching for them. The trunk then closed on top of him. Thoughts?
No.
You're not buying it?
No. He was in there doing something, waiting for someone to find him. And
who locks himself in a car trunk on purpose?
Because he's waiting for someone to find him in a precarious position, and then it turned out to be cops, so he wasn't...
He wanted to flash someone?
He was...
Okay.
And he left all four doors open on his car.
Well, yeah, because then you'd be like, what's going on with this car? I hope everyone's okay.
So you think
someone's in the trunk. He
was trying to prank a passerby? Like, he was trying to... He thought it would be funny for somebody else to come along, just some random human would come along, and he would yell out, they would open the trunk, and he would jump out and yell surprise?
I don't think he would yell surprise. I think he would...
Show surprise.
Show surprise, mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say he was naked, though.
Well, because it was cops, so he was like, I could get in trouble.
Police, by the way, did find a pill bottle containing marijuana in the car, a first-degree misdemeanor in Florida, and he was arrested for that, by the way, and charged with that. The man's mother arrived and drove him home.
Great.
In the car. So,
what do you think, Kevin? What was he doing?
I believe him. I don't think he's going to sit there and lock himself in the trunk and hope that somebody's going to show up.
But who is...
Because you would do that, is what I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying... How do you fall into a trunk looking for your keys? Why did he think his keys were in the trunk?
I don't know, but the four doors open supports that theory. It does make sense. Maybe he was looking for the keys.
It's very strange.
I believe him.
How long before he locked himself in the truck had he been fired from Burger King? That's my question, by the way. And finally, Kevin, and this is a story that's going to be, I think, especially enjoyable for you. Unfortunately, it does involve Linda Marie Smith, 59, who was found dead in a motel room, the Budget 6 motel in Northport she was found. In addition to her body, by the way, two live monkeys were found in the hotel room.
Okay.
Shortly after 1:30 p.m., police announced they were investigating suspicious death. About an hour later, the city announced the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission had received two capuchin monkeys from the room. The primates were taken out of the hotel room. A man was also found in the room. He was incoherent and received medical attention. Investigators intend to question him further. What do you think was going on in that hotel room? Why was there an incoherent man, a dead woman, and two live monkeys running around in the room? Look, I'm telling you, Florida is the craziest place on earth. I may need to move there full time just so I can investigate these stories because there's never enough information. What's going on with the dead lady and the two live monkeys?
That's a great question.
That is not a weekend. That's why I'm asking. What's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Huge weekend in theaters in the Southland this weekend. Of course, a monster movie coming out. But there's a couple others, too, so let's take a look at them. Starting with Fences. It's in limited release this weekend. But Denzel Washington directs and stars in this film about an African-American father who's struggling with race relations in the U.S. while trying to raise his family in the 50s. Not historically a great time for blacks, by the way.
No.
Just wanted to give you some context to this film.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. This is getting huge, huge buzz, by the way, for the awards season. Denzel Washington's already been nominated for his SAG Award. Also opening this weekend, Solace in limited release. Listen to this cast. Anthony Hopkins, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Colin Farrell.
Holy
what?
Moly.
Yes. It's about a psychic working with the FBI in order to hunt down a serial killer. Abby Cornish also stars in this. Yeah, right?
Right.
Collateral Beauty opens up this weekend as well. It's in wide release. Will Smith is a man who's faced a tragedy. He probably saw his son acting. And he has to try to answer the universal questions of what is life all about? What does time mean? What is death? Death, I think, feels a lot like sitting through this film. Will Smith, Edward Norton, Kate Winslet, Michael Pena, everybody learns an important lesson about life and love in Collateral Beauty. And lastly, let's talk about it, shall we?
Yes.
Rogue Mother One.
Yeah!
I don't think you could say that.
Oh. Mother One.
Again,
right.
It's that word.
Oh, the Rogue
after
is
Mother.
Okay?
No, after Mother.
The Rogue's all right?
Yeah.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. You know, it's my policy not to see the films before I review them.
Yeah, that's your talent.
But I couldn't resist this week. I got a chance to see Rogue One.
You're a selfish son of a bitch.
And I went. Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Alan Tudyk, a star in what is basically the prequel to the first film, the first Star Wars film we all saw, A New Hope. And it's everything that leads up until the very opening frames of that particular film. And it is outstanding.
Glad to hear that.
It is, personally, for me, it's my favorite new Star Wars film that has come out since the original three.
Wow.
And it's even better than Jedi, quite frankly.
So,
wow, bite
what?
Your tongue.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's
not
an Ewok to be seen. Gareth Edwards is the director of this film. They did an amazing job of making you feel like you're exactly right back there in the Star Wars universe, and yet at the same time it feels completely fresh, completely new. Felicity Jones' character of Jyn is outstanding. Everybody involved in the Rebel Alliance, and it's so much of a different feel than the original Star Wars films, but at the same time it feels right at home. It is much more of a war movie. You see these guys doing what the rebels who didn't have the Force, and there were no Jedis present, this is what they had to do in order to keep the Rebel Alliance alive against the evil Empire. And speaking of the Empire, Darth Vader is there in all of his glory.
All right.
No spoiler, he is there, and it is so impressive. Some other friends, this is not a spoiler either, who come back to visit. Grand Moff Tarkin, who you remember from the original film, Peter Cushing, returns to this film, even though he is very dead.
I was going to ask you if that was a difficult booking.
Yes. They recreate him via CGI, and it is amazing what they do with
this. That's cool.
It's about the rebels stealing the plans for the Death Star, We all know the story. That's how they get the plans in New Hope in order to take down the Death Star, the most potent weapon in the galaxy that the Empire has its hands on. And it answers a lot of questions from that first Star Wars film that a lot of us had in A New Hope. It introduces you to some great new characters, not the least of which is the new droid that is voiced by Alan Tudyk, who pretty much steals this film. If you are a fan of the original Star Wars, A New Hope, you will love this, and you will be so jazzed by the end of the film as you watch the moments leading up to the opening moments of A New Hope. It's really exciting how they dovetail it together. Here's some clips from the trailer of Rogue One.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
I've been recruiting for the rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home.
I fight the Empire now.
Every day they grow stronger. Are you with me?
All the way.
So there you have it. Pretty much a no-brainer this weekend. If you're going to see a movie, if you're even just a casual fan of Star Wars, this is a great movie in and of itself. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story is my pick by far.
Allie, by the time we come back from vacation, how many times will you've seen a Rogue One movie?
14.
Okay. Look forward to it.
There we go. Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy the movies. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Look who is back. One of our favorite comedians and actors, Hannibal Buress, in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. The brand new comedy special on Netflix debuts a week from Friday, February 5th. It is called Hannibal Buress Comedy Camisado.
Hey.
I don't hablo the Espanol, Hannibal. What's that all about, the comedy camisado?
Camisado means a military attack that occurs at night. Yeah, that's all.
And that's you, man.
Nothing funny about it. It's just a military attack that happens at night.
Well, congratulations on the new comedy special coming to Netflix.
Thank you.
And by the way, you put your previous specials up on Netflix, too, so there's lots of Hannibal on the Netflix right now.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
We learned a lot watching this special that
did?
We didn't know.
Yeah. Like what?
Things we didn't know. Like you can fly without a license.
You can fly without a license.
I was like, is this a setup for a joke or what?
No, you can fly without, which would be, it makes sense that you can fly domestically without a license. Because if you showed up without a license and they said, oh, you don't have a license, I'm sorry. I guess you live in Dallas now. That would be weird.
Right, but don't they just say, go get your license and bring it back?
No, they don't. If you don't have it, then what can they do? They're going to just, they have to let you go. They just treat you horribly.
Okay.
They treat you like you lost your ID.
How many times have you done that?
A couple times. It was about 3-4 times because I couldn't get back home. I had lost it, but I still had a few tour dates.
Oh, my God.
So
each city you went to, you had to go through the same thing.
I had to go through
it.
Yeah.
Where
is it? Did you look here? Did you look there? It's like, stop talking to me like that. I don't have it. Is it at the hotel? No, it's not at the hotel. This is where, I don't know. Just let me through. Here's other stuff. Here's my, I don't know. I'm not messing with you. I just really need to get to this other place.
Does it help that you are a celebrity? Like, if I tried it, would I be able to do it?
It varies. Sometimes it's very. I have weird fame.
Okay.
But I'm not all over famous.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the people like you love you, I imagine.
I'll put this. I'm not, if I go in a Cracker Barrel.
Right.
I'm not famous.
Okay.
But if I go in an Urban Outfitters, I'm famous. That's the type of famous I am. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's certain places that I go to. Where it's not evergreen.
Not everywhere.
It's not evergreen. It's very specific, and it keeps me humble.
I was going to ask, do you like it that way?
I do like it that way.
Yeah, it's about the right mix.
It's jarring, though. It's jarring to, you know, sometimes where it's just really quiet, and I'm fine, and things, and then all of a sudden it's, Hannibal! And I don't like when people yell at me. I tell people quiet down. When people yell at me, I say, don't stop yelling at me. Stop yelling. Why are you screaming at
me? Why
are
you screaming my name?
That is stop not screaming. Just keep it down. You know, I don't scream, so don't scream at me.
Hannibal, the a lot of people are attracted to famous people, but yeah. I'm just wondering if it works in your favor to be a comedian when it comes to the ladies. Is comedy something that attracts the ladies to
definitely,
you as well?
Definitely. It is, yeah. But this is what happens. Sometimes they try to be funny around me.
Oh no!
Like they'll go too far, or they'll try to make it. It gets weird. Where it's like, you don't have to do that. Just relax. Relax. Everything's fine. Like, don't. And people in general will try to, like, because comedy's the only job, or one of the few jobs where people try to do it back to you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. Yeah, where they just, it's just, hey, don't, you don't have to tell me.
Because you might like me better if you find me funny.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I've become more honest just in my dealings with people, with strangers. Sometimes. I was at a bar, I was with some people, and this girl comes up, hey, what's up, Aaron? Nice to meet you, and love your stuff. She said, you want to hear a joke? I said, no. No, I don't want to hear a joke.
I'll bet she started the joke, though.
She did not.
She did not.
She
all
did
right,
not.
Well,
because I think she knew that I didn't want to hear the joke.
Right.
She threw it out. Most people would just go into it, and she just... She didn't, and
that
I didn't.
Weird phenomena. That is a weird phenomenon because you don't see people like singing to singers.
So people don't sing to sing for the most part. Yeah. It's just it's dicey, man.
But you know. Hannibal Buress is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the comedy special debuting on Netflix on February the 5th. I saw an announcement from you this week about something that I was very interested in, Hannibal, that you are an artist in residence at Spotify. You put together a playlist of comedy and music, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
man.
Pretty cool.
Well, mostly music, and I talk between the songs.
Mostly music.
Yeah, it's all songs, and I talk about the different songs between.
And I know you're a huge, huge music fan, and you got everybody from Busta Rhymes to Tribe Called Quest and Nas and Kanye and everything on there. Were you traveling, or were you close enough to your phone that you could follow the Kanye Wiz Khalifa beef that broke this week?
Oh, I was looking at my phone, excited.
Did you love it?
Do you love beef?
I was excited, and I was a part of me that. Hey, can they chill out? Because my Spotify thing just got announced, and they are dominating the music news right now.
There's something about Twitter
mostly
beef
Kanye,
that I love.
Because Wiz didn't say much. Kanye was really upset. He ended up coming off looking like an old dad a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he tweeted, Wiz Khalifa said, I'm about to hit this KK.
That's right.
KK means Khalifa Kush.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kanye thought it meant Kim Kardashian, and he went, don't talk about my wife like that. Yeah. And then Khalifa's like, no, it's weed, man. And then Kanye's looking crazy. He starts talking, and he ends up deleting everything, but, you know, it's promotion for an album. But he did come off looking like an old man.
Do you know him?
I've met him a couple times.
Met him a couple times, but wouldn't say you know him?
I wouldn't say I know him, but we know each other, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy,
just...
He's a little intense.
I think he publicly he kind of will be a little bit more off kilter, but just meet him, he's more relaxed.
He needs more of the other KK. That's what he needs.
Yeah, he needs to
calm down a bit. He came in here one time. It was a surprise. We didn't know he was going to be here, and he walked through the door and sat down.
Yeah.
And man, when you look in his eyes, it's all he believes everything he's saying 1,000%.
Hey man, you gotta believe in yourself.
He does.
Yeah, you got it.
That he does.
You get it. You ever get into any beefs with other comics or other celebrities?
No, not really. I don't get any beefs. It's just exhausting. It's just weird. So just to be going back and forth with somebody. I wouldn't do it publicly. You know what I mean? When I hear people talk about me in an interview. I'm not about to talk about you in an interview. I'm going to just call you on the phone and say, hey, you good?
Right.
Is everything all right? I'd rather not make it a thing for people to...
I got to tell you, I love Twitter for this reason, because it lets people speak that probably need a mouthpiece or a PR person in between them and the public. And it just sometimes it's super entertaining.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, also strangers can write whatever they want to you.
Yeah.
Well, that was my next question is how do you handle when you – I'm sure you get haters on your Twitter.
Sure.
Who are just wanting to just come down on you for whatever reason. They don't think you're funny or whatever. Do you just ignore them or you engage?
Sometimes I'll just – it's funny just people's angles sometimes. Because I think it'd be funny if somebody would write me, why are you even doing comedy? It's like, because some people enjoy it. Like, I just find it interesting that people would choose to write something negative towards me than writing something positive towards somebody they enjoy and supporting somebody.
Yeah, I've never understood the time and energy it takes to tell someone you don't like them.
Yeah, it's just
why
like,
don't you just ignore
that's
them?
Fine, you don't have to like me, but this is my job. Like somebody like, wow, you need to stop doing comedy and take up gardening or something. Like, if I did that, I'd be broke like you. I'm not gonna stop doing comedy because you don't like it. It's fine. You know, people like what they like, but you know, enough people like what I do to make sense for me to keep.
How
going.
Much do you pay attention to people who talk about you
on Twitter, look at, I in the see media, it, I see it, but see it. I don't engage it anymore because if you engage it, that's where it just kind of flares up, and you know, it's just like. I look at it now as just being a product where, you know, I don't like certain restaurants sometimes, or
right.
I don't like this movie, I look at myself like that, where if you're that public in the same, and then people are going to, you know, speak about you. Some people going to enjoy it. Some people going to not. Some people going
to
be
sure.
Different.
You'll just go to another restaurant rather than go to that restaurant
but
and tell them how much they suck.
And I have all these things that I, you know, have feelings about, but I wouldn't go out of my way to tell them. You know what I mean?
I got to tell you, what is a little bit funny to me, though, is occasionally the people that are the meanest, if you go to their account, like, they just started that account and they tweeted that one thing.
Yeah.
Like, they started, and that's how far they go. They want to tell you they hate you so much that they started an account just to tell you that.
I saw somebody yesterday that said something to me. They said, I saw Hannibal Buress in a Samsung commercial getting ready to go buy an iPhone. And I looked at his account. He hadn't tweeted. That was his first tweet in 5 years.
Yeah.
I was like, I felt honored. Like, you.
I brought you out of retirement.
You stopped tweeting. You didn't tweet for half a decade. And then you saw my commercial and you wrote me. I feel honored. Wow.
Sure. Hannibal, we're not going to have as much time as we had hoped with you today, because I know you run late, but I want to mention, in addition to the Comedy Camisado special, which is a week from Friday on Netflix, you are going to be back with Broad City. We're going to see more of Dr. Lincoln coming up here soon, right? That's debuting again.
Yeah, February 17th.
And Eric Andre's show, too?
I think in summer. We filmed Eric Andre's show already. I think Adult Swim is weird. We don't have an exact date, but I'm thinking June or July or something.
Your participation in the Eric Andre show is always fascinating to me, because you just, it seems sort of just like you're an interested observer. Occasionally you'll shake your head no or whatever, but he just goes like a crazy man.
Dude, the day I get there, that's when I know what's going on. I usually don't know what's happening ahead of time. With guests or different bits. With the it's one of the popular bits from last season was me doing a Morpheus rap,
right?
And I didn't know it was just it's me doing Morpheus, just rhyming Morpheus work. And when I got there, I didn't know that day. Was like, hey, just you put on this suit and rhyme words with Morpheus.
You got a weird job, Hannibal.
Yeah, I have a very it's a weird job. It's a fun one though.
When I first saw. And I swear this is true. When I first saw Dr. Ben Carson on TV, I thought, oh, my God, Hannibal Buress is running for president. I really did. It was so funny to me. And ever since then, every time I see him, he just so reminds me of you. It's just funny to me.
Ben Carson, I don't like him because he looks too much like he could be my dad, man. Yeah, he looks like he'd be my dad. I feel like he's been watching my specials and stealing my delivery a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's totally got your delivery.
Also, because I didn't watch. Did you watch the debates yesterday? I didn't watch.
I did.
I did not.
It just feels like at some point it's just like, hey, I'm out of here, y'all. I'm not gonna win.
Yeah,
It's no chance of him winning, but he's still going for. It's weird.
There are a lot of candidates like that are spending a ton of dough and don't have a prayer.
Yeah, they don't. It's just like I guess they're just promoting something. I wish they would just sell a T-shirt or something else. Just at least pitch something else. Like, hey, I got a podcast. I know this
would
president.
You listen to Dr. Ben Carson's podcast?
I would listen to
it. You would not, sir.
If he sped it up. I listened to it at 1.5 speed.
That's the only way to go. Well, the special is very, very funny, you guys. It's going to be debuting on Netflix next Friday, February 5th, recorded at the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis. It's called Hannibal Buress Comedy Calisado. It's great to have you back, Hannibal.
Thank
we
you
always
for
enjoy
me.
When you have time to stop by, man. And let's do it again, okay?
Yep.
Funny man Jay Moore, 1 hour from right now. But first, Parrot Talk. Remember that band, Hatebeak? Remember Hatebeak, the heavy metal band that had a parrot as the lead singer?
Yeah, they ruled.
What's happening?
Hatebeak ruled.
All right, so we had a story a week ago, 10 days ago or something, about a murder trial, and the decision is going to be made as to whether or not the parrot can testify, because the parrot has been saying some things that make it sound as if the bird was an eyewitness to a shooting. What were some of the – what did they say, Kevin? Do you remember? It was like, don't effing shoot me,
yeah,
right?
Don't effing shoot. Don't effing
don't
shoot.
Don't effing shoot. Right. So that case, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But it did get us on the topic of how crazy it is that parrots are the only pet that you can have that can speak English, that can replicate human speech. And I started to ask and have been bugging the guys since then, hey, let's talk to parrots and their owners, because I want to find out what that must be like.
Now, a lot of times people get us confused, and I've just come to accept that.
Right.
Something Bean says, I get blamed for it. That's the way it goes.
Sure.
I say something, Bean gets blamed. That's the way it goes. This is Bean's idea. I just want to put that
you
out there.
You want to make it very clear.
I want to separate okay. us right here, and
not
I want to
Kevin.
Say,
not
I'm,
Kevin.
I'm not in for talking to parrots. Mm-hmm. This is Bean's dream, though.
Okay, well, you're wrong, because it's going to be awesome. And we are going to be taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk to you, and we want to talk to your parrot. By the way, the parrot on record as knowing the most words is Puck. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He recognized 1,728 words.
Look, we have to put up with you talking to parrots. We don't need to hear you read from a book.
I'm saying he knows more words than you do, Kevin.
Well, that's clear.
That's hurtful.
Groucho was a famous parrot who entertained TV audiences. In fact, here's a clip of Groucho singing on a television show in 2010. Listen to Groucho. I mean, come on.
I'm not going to lie. That is terrifying.
That's impressive,
that
though,
is
right?
Terrifying.
My instinct is punch that bird.
I don't agree with that.
Punch the bird because it needs to stop doing what it's doing.
My
you don't
fear,
think that's doing anything else.
Nope, Kevin, that's not
punch
a great instinct.
Punch the bird.
I fear, though, how you're trying to sleep, and that's like you're just singing in the next room. That's terrifying.
You know who's sleeping? The guy who punched the bird.
Oh, Kevin.
Sleeping.
All right. So we're going to talk to parrots and parrot owners at 1-800-520-1067. And we are going to start with our new friend, Chanel.
Bean talks to parrots and Bean is a dick.
Ah, dick!
Come on. That's unnecessary. Our new friend Chanel joins us on the phone from Wellington, Florida. Hi, Chanel. Thanks so much for calling. Thank you for holding on. How are you?
I'm great, Bean. How are you guys?
We are good.
Where is Wellington in Florida?
Okay, I'm new here. It's like south on the East Coast side. A longtime podcast and radio listener when I was in L.A. 9 years. Haven't missed a day. Love you guys very much. Thank you.
By the way, thank you. That's awesome.
Why did you move? I know this isn't the topic, but why did you move to Florida? Have you been listening to this? If you've been listening to this show, you know that that's a bad choice.
Let's go down this road and let's talk about it for a while, so we don't have to talk to parrots.
No, we're going to get to the parrot too. Seriously, how did you make that choice?
I'm ready to be roundly mocked. I moved here. No, I know. I was going to ask to be your Florida correspondent, but then I realized you probably just mocked Florida. But you know what? It's crazy. There's some weird things, and then there's some normal things. But there's definitely some weird things. I'm trying to see if it's in the water, but I don't know if it can be a.
I mean, did you know anybody there or move for a job?
Sorry, yes, my husband had an opportunity to move out here. So
there it is.
And do you have any friends there now?
Okay, now we've covered
and
it.
And what's
Kevin?
Your
Thank
favorite
you.
Restaurant?
Are you in a one level house or two?
Do you All have right. children?
Let's talk about your little bird.
Are
what's
your
bird's
parents
name?
Still living?
What's your bird's name, Chanel?
Kevin, I know you're not happy about this.
Kevin is so over it already.
His name's Rio.
Bean talks to parents and Bean is a dick.
Ah, dick! Okay. All right. Tell us about Rio. How old is Rio?
Rio is 4, and he's a cockatoo.
Cockatoo, all right.
So you're saying her name is Rio?
Does she dance on the sand down there in Florida?
I hate myself for that. Continue, please.
Seriously, all three of you are going into the file. All right, Rio is a cockatoo. Now, forgive me. Cockatoos, they talk kind of like parrots do?
Sorry, go ahead.
You have a cockatoo or a parrot?
It's the same thing. It's like
a
dog kind of thing, like just like a species.
Okay, so it's a breed thing. Okay, all right. Yeah. How much does Rio talk?
Not anything like that African gray in the
good. That's what we want. We want seriously less quality than we already played. So that's good.
But he doesn't seem creepy like that one. So
okay. Not creepy.
Can you get Rio to talk to us? Can Rio say anything to us on the phone?
I will try. Let me put it right here.
Hold please.
Bean talks to parents. And Bean is. Dick. Dick.
All right, Bean. Here we go. Good luck.
Nope, it's not happening.
Bean talks to parents and Bean is a dick.
Dick.
Not happening.
Okay.
maybe try again, Chanel. Maybe it was. Hold on.
Bean, she's the only caller we have. And all right, it's not happening.
Hold on. Let's.
Let her try.
Bean is dying a little bit like Kevin Love last night trying to get the high five. Bean is dead a little bit
Chanel,
more.
Chanel, how do you get Rio to talk? What do you do?
He does it. They have a mind of their own, and they just really do it when they feel like it. Sometimes they don't shut up, and sometimes they don't say anything.
But is there something that you can say to her that will make her want to answer back?
Yeah, if you want to hear me play peekaboo, that's kind of, like, awkward.
Yep.
Yes.
No, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, we do.
It'd be really good
high quality.
To hear that.
All right, let's hear some peekaboo.
Excited
right,
about
Kevin,
this.
I know you're mocking. Hold
I am.
On. Say, can you say peekaboo or not? Come on.
She doesn't even have a bird. Chanel is straight crazy. Doesn't have a bird.
Oh my God.
No bird. Well done.
Bean talks to parents and Bean is a dick.
A lot of listeners are demanding that we return our Hall of Fame award, by the way, after
rightfully
that last
so.
Segment. Alex writes in, hey, guys, Punch the Bird should open Coachella 2017. That's fine. Adam writes in, didn't hear the segment. I'm a podcast listener from Kansas City, but I already suspect this is your worst segment ever.
Worst/best.
Dear Kevin Bean, rushed to drop my kids off at school to get back in the car to hear this. Has my life come to this? What the F? So, overall, a lot of acclaim for the talking to a parrot segment that you just missed.
Bean, how do you think it went?
Fantastic.
Yeah? You're happy with it?
Were you hoping for better or about the same or worse?
Look, I didn't fill my head with a lot of expectations.
Right.
So I was pleased. Chanel was awesome.
Were you hoping to talk to a bird?
Well, I mean.
Or even a person that actually had a bird and wasn't lying about it.
If Rio had said a word, I think it would have been better. But
no, I disagree. That was perfect
anyway.
The way it was. Chanel is straight crazy, and she's awesome.
It makes sense now that why she moved to Florida, doesn't it? Veep returns on Sunday, you guys, to HBO.
Yeah, it does.
Tim Simons plays Joan on the show. He's going to be joining us in studio coming up next hour here on
Jonad.
Jonad.
And then at 8 o'clock, one of our all-time favorite K-Rock bands, Garbage, will be here hand-delivering their brand-new single called Empty. You will hear it first in the world here on K-Rock this morning. And by the way, I think there's talk that we'll be Facebook Living that interview as well. So you can not only get to listen to, but you get to see Garbage joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show later on this morning.
Correct. Let's talk about Creepy. Let's talk about Mr.
Hashtag
Creepy.
Being so creepy.
I feel like this was covered yesterday and we've moved on. What are you talking about?
We'd like to cover it a little more because we feel like perhaps you missed the point.
There was just a small conversation had early in yesterday's show, and I think a lot of people may be missing out on hashtag being so creepy.
All right. May I say what happened?
Sure.
And then you'll put your evil, dirty spin on it.
No, then we'll say what really happened, but
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was on a plane coming down to see y'all yesterday. We had a thing. And there was a model on the plane who I recognized.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Models are allowed to fly. There's nothing creepy about that. So there's this young woman on the plane who I recognized as being a famous model. I have seen her in magazines. I have seen her in layouts. And I knew who she was.
Wait a minute. Magazines and layouts?
Who says layouts?
She's been in photo shoots and in photography?
Yes,
what kind of model correct. Is this?
Right. She's one of those kind of models that's photographed.
Oh, right? One of those.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Now, she's the kind of model that goes in front of the camera. So I see her and I recognize her. And
right.
Just like with any other celebrity, oh, I know that face, but, ooh, what's her name? I can't think of her name. So it's driving me crazy. The whole time I was on this flight, I couldn't figure out who she was.
Mm-hmm. It's a two-hour flight? You thought about
yes.
this for 2 hours?
I did. Well, I did exhaustive research, you know, Google image searching models, and I just could not come up with the one. I didn't have an answer by the time the plane landed.
Okay.
So the person sitting next to Bean on the plane.
Dear Lord.
He's just scrolling through page after page of scantily clad models.
Oh, it's not her.
You're like, oh, Stuart. Can I get a disinfectant, please?
So Bean tweets, okay, there's a model on my plane. I don't know who it is now, so I have to research pictures of models the whole flight to ID her.
Right. So that's what happened. So then plane lands, and I am no closer to an answer. Still have not put the name to the face. So we're walking off the plane, and you know, at LAX, you walk down that long hallway to get to baggage claim, and we leave the plane at the same time, and I happen to be behind her.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this will be I'm sure that there are people who are following me on Twitter, at Clyde Tumble, who are curious if I ever was able to identify this.
Oh, model. They so must be dying. Waiting for the
well,
answer.
Well, I know for those 2 hours, I was riveted. Couldn't stop
Allie's
staring
just
at that
staring at her phone,
refresh,
doing nothing
refresh,
else.
Refresh,
where's
who
the response? Where's the answer?
Wait, Bean, are you serious?
He is!
I felt
he
like
is!
There needed to be some sort of resolution. I felt like I
to
had
what?
Given
what?
I'd given the setup.
To your
lame-ass
joke model tweet?
It wasn't a joke. It was for real.
I must do research for 2 hours on the plane. That's a lame-ass
that's
model
a joke.
Joke.
Right.
No,
that's a joke.
No, the thing was, I thought there might be people who, hey, I wonder what model was on Bean's flight, because
oh, no,
I had pointed out
no
that
one
there was a model
thinks
on the
that. No
really
one thinks other people are waiting for their tweet resolution. No one thinks that. Patton Oswalt doesn't think that.
So the point is, as we're walking down the hallway to baggage claim, I think, you know how to put this to bed is to just take a picture of the lady and say, well, I blew it. I couldn't find out who it was, so long.
Now, when you say take a picture of the lady, mm-hmm. you take a picture of the model from behind. So had you taken a picture of her face,
maybe we could figure out who she was.
Could have identified who it was.
Maybe then your mystery tweet could finally be resolved that everyone was waiting for. Maybe the great national mystery could finally be ended. But no, you just took a creepy tweet of a woman from behind without her knowing it.
But
you
I'll
make
always
it sound
remember
creepy,
her walking away. Were words yeah. in the tweet accompanying
that's
the picture
correct.
Of her butt.
Hate to see you leave, but I love to watch you go. Boom, boner. Let's just write okay. that and take a picture.
Never did put a name to the face of the famous model on my flight today, but I will always remember her walking away.
Click. Look. Surreptitious you're, click.
You're trying to make it sound creepy. There was nothing
no,
creepy
we're not.
About
we're
it.
We're just
because,
reading it.
And it's also not a picture of her butt, okay? It's a full length as she's walking away. Her entire body from shoes to head is in the photo. So it's not like it was some sort of a close-up on her ass or anything like that. It wasn't at all
why
invasive
take that
or creepy.
Picture? That picture helps nobody. It doesn't help identify her. Nothing. It just
we don't see what she looks like. We don't know what model it is, and it's nothing. Just you taking a picture of a woman without her permission from a weird position.
Now, guys, I could have asked her. I could
right.
have
that's an
bothered
option.
Her on the plane and said, "Hey, who are you?" Or, "Hey, can I take a picture?" I mean, I didn't want to bother her.
Okay,
you know
here's
what I mean?
Here's another option, and this is what I would have done. I would have done this. Hey, that looks like a model. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. Oh well.
life.
Then you
moving
moved
life on
with your
now.
Life?
Then I would
okay.
move on. I would get, you know, whatever
that's,
book I'm reading.
That's
funny. Yeah. But I wouldn't care. How, why do you care so much? Why do you have to have that answer? I know you need all answers.
Look, you
why?
Guys, again, you guys try to make it creepy.
I'm asking
this,
why you need that answer.
Okay, I'm trying to answer.
All right.
You guys try to make it creepy because in this case it was a model. But if you were at a restaurant and across the room at another table was an actor who you recognized
right.
and you couldn't put a face to the name, it would be something that you would think about. Like, I know that dude. Where have
right.
I seen that
so
guy?
So I'd wait till he goes to the restroom, and then I'd take a picture of him without
from
him
behind.
Knowing from behind
yeah.
while he's walking
Absolutely.
Past me. Because that'll help. That'll help the whole situation.
Pete, I'm going to suggest...
Creepy effer.
I'm going to suggest again that Ralph and Allie and me and Chip and everybody else in the world would have, in that restaurant scene, gone, hey, that's an actor that I recognize. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to eat now. That's
yeah.
it. You don't have to find out who it is.
I don't like...
Who cares?
I like things to be resolved. I like things to
well,
have a
beginning.
This
has nothing to do with your resolving a mystery. This has to do with you taking a picture of a woman without her consent from behind. It's just creepy.
At least he didn't post it on the internet, though.
Oh, that's true. Oh, wait a minute.
Look, guys,
I will always remember her walking away.
Yes.
As if there was... That,
oh,
by the way,
the time
just,
we spent together.
That insinuates that there's so much more relationship.
Me wondering about her and her not knowing I was alive.
Right,
I'll
exactly.
never forget those times.
Guys, I didn't follow her to her hotel and then take a picture through the blinds at her, in her room. Okay?
How do you know this she was... went to a hotel then?
No. She was going. This was in a public place, just like, I mean,
so
just,
like,
upskirt, just like upskirt photography. You That's
creep?
What I told the judge at the mall. She was in a public place,
it's true.
And I dropped my cell phone and took 100 pictures.
Not my fault she wasn't wearing undies and I put
needed
it on
a resolution
the
to my penis.
I meant nothing creepy about it, by the way.
It doesn't matter whether you meant it to be
creepy. It wasn't a close-up
on
body
parts. Maybe just naturally creepy. Maybe you don't have to try.
It wasn't invasive to her in any way. It didn't even identify her, for God's sakes, because I still
then
don't know.
Then why take the picture?
It doesn't identify upskirt photo women either. You're not like, oh, shoot, is that Jenny's vagina? No, it's creepy, Bean. You don't
this
see
is
that?
This is hardly the same as an upskirt
I
photo,
I would love to
God's
know
sake.
If women feel comfortable if they're walking around a public place of men just taking pictures of them without them knowing it.
They love it.
Nope.
I would like to know how women feel about
we
it.
We don't have much time, but 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call in and say if that's cool with you.
If you're walking off a plane
right.
and some guy just took a picture of you randomly
from behind
right. and then posted it on the internet, would that give you a warm, fuzzy feeling or would it give you a cold, clammy feeling like the fingers of death?
That's a loaded question, but
I'll
accept it.
Which of those two would you lean?
When you put it like that, you do make it sound less than savory. I will tell you that.
Look,
less than savory. What's the harm?
I didn't even know about cheddar.
What's the harm to the young lady in question?
It's not your place to photograph her. She's going about her business. She doesn't have to walk around wondering whether men, strange men, are taking pictures of her or not and then posting them on the internet.
I think all right, let me ask it a different way.
What's more important is that you couldn't figure out who she was and you thought the world was waiting for the answer.
That's a cover story,
Kevin.
Oh, so
he's saying that he needed to do that because the world was waiting for the answer for his tweet to justify his creepy picture taking.
That's not true at all, by the way.
It
was my way of letting it go and realizing that I'd been
Oh, have you let it go?
I have let it go. I wouldn't have brought it
so
up
again
So
you let it
today.
Go by posting, again, a tweet that you tweeted 2 hours previously that everyone else had already forgotten about. That's
exactly.
how you let it go.
All right. Let's talk to Jasmine, who's on line one from Cyprus, who's going to tell you guys that there's no harm, no foul here.
All
and
right.
She wouldn't have any problem with this at all. Hey, Jasmine, welcome to the show. I appreciate very much you being on my side.
Hey. So my boyfriend actually does this. Where if he sees an attractive woman, like he takes pictures like from whatever angle he can. He thinks that nobody notices, but I've seen like in the pictures, like if they have kids with them, the kids are looking right at him, and it's like the most creepiest thing.
Why does he do that?
He's just I don't know. Like it's such a pervy thing to do, and he says like,
"Why are you with him?"
He does it.
Why is he your boyfriend?
I ask myself this all the time.
Why are you with that guy?
All the time. But, I can't wait till one day somebody's boyfriend sees and just
punches him in the face.
Oh, you and me both, Jasmine. Can't wait for that to happen.
Okay, really that guy's got problems. That guy's got problems.
Yeah,
because
that guy.
Because he's perving out on hot chicks. That's not what I was doing at all.
You were obsessing for 2 hours on a plane doing research, looking at model pictures, and then taking pictures of a poor woman
That's all you were doing.
You thought that tweet needed a resolution. That's how pervy you are, obsessed you are.
Jasmine, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Camellia in Manhattan Beach. She definitely is going to be on my side.
All right.
No woman is, Bean.
I don't think he understands that.
Yeah.
We could take calls all day, and he would go, yeah, most people are on my side. Camellia, hi.
Hi.
So you're getting off a plane. Somebody takes a picture from behind. All good?
No, not all good.
Not all good.
I see where Bean was going with that, though. Like, I would want to take a picture and find out who she was. But if it was me personally, very creepy.
But you take a picture maybe of her face.
Yes, of her face, definitely.
Maybe a selfie or something.
Maybe with her walking behind me and I'm trying to take a selfie.
Oh, like a stealth selfie with her in the background.
Yeah, I love the selfies.
I get it.
This is just me taking a selfie. Oh, is there someone famous behind me?
At least Bean could literally pretend it was for a reason, and we'd actually have to buy it as opposed to his BS story he's trying to spin now.
Yeah.
I am sticking with my story, and one day I'll find her, and one day we'll be together.
Oh.
Wait, that's not what I did I say that out loud?
So creepy.
Yes, you did. I just thought it needed some resolution. It's my thing. Resolution.
Finally.
America was on pins and needles. Waiting for the tweet finale that was being promised. It was like Game of Thrones and Dexter crossed with The Flash. Everyone needed to know what was going to happen with the resolution.
6:55, Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You act like you're exhausted.
Right?
Imagine being us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:08.
Are you eating?
No.
What's going on?
No.
Kevin.
I'm not eating.
You are. You're eating. It's a new year. Can you not eat when we're on the air?
Look at my mouth.
Because you swallowed it.
Why did I swallow it? Nothing in there.
How about at the start of year 27, a little bit of professionalism from you?
How about that?
Why did I start that now?
That's true. It has been working.
He literally opened his mouth and said, You are four.
You are four.
Hey, guys, big news for you.
Okay.
Oh, Star Wars news. Fantastic. Not only is Star Wars the biggest movie in the world, but another force has awakened, and that is the search online for Star Wars porn parodies. Seen a bunch of stories in the final days of 2015 talking about how sites like Pornhub have all sorts of people going on looking for various Star Wars parodies. In fact, there was a movie made, I guess I missed this at the time, a movie made in 2012 called Star Wars XXX, and then they had The Empire Strikes Back XXX sequel. The beautiful adult actress Ali Hayes plays Princess Leia in the movie. Kevin, you remember her from Interracial and Anal 2?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
She was in that one. She was also in Dirty Santa, and I think I know her best from My Sister's Hot Friend 39. She's very good in that. But they have characters who play Luke Skywalker, who play Han Solo, who play Chewbacca, Obi-Wan. The great Lexington Steele plays Darth Vader in that film, by the way. And apparently sales are just through the roof of Star Wars XXX. You know, anytime something's popular, people always want a porn version of that. So we thought we'd find out if there's anything more coming down the pike, so we thought we'd catch up with our old friend Lou Mansuko, who joins us on the line. He's with Adult Ward Pictures, and he's... What? Why are you laughing, Lou?
Because I'm your old friend, but you don't know my last name is Mancuso.
Mancuso. I'm sorry, I read that
my
wrong.
My old pal Lou Mansuko.
But at least you work in Adult Word Pictures.
It's Adult World, not Word. Adult World Pictures. I'm my old pal Lou Mansuko from Adult Lives in Compton.
I would have so put money on me screwing up before Bean, but that is not happening
so far. Well, pal, it's good to be back.
All right. Well, happy New Year.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mr. Mancuso, am I wrong about this? Star Wars is the hottest thing in porn right now.
Hottest thing. Porn always follows fashion, as you know.
Uh-huh, sure.
And Star Wars is wildly popular, and so why shouldn't I get a little taste? You know what I'm saying? Why should I get my beak wet? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And all those things actually are also porn sites.
Get My Beak Wet was very good, by the
very
way.
Very good. But, of course, Star Wars, the biggest phenomenon in motion picture history, of course, is going to be porn parodies. And we've got a ton of them at Adult World Entertainment here. Or Adult Word Pictures, depending on who you are.
Fantastic. Like what? What do you have?
Well, of course, Star Wars, The Whores Awaken. That's a big one.
Okay.
That's about a bunch of whores who wake up.
Right.
And then bone.
Okay. All right. Simple, yeah. But effective.
It's got to be the biggest movie ever we had to get on. Of course, everybody loves the original Star Wars films. That's why we also have now for sale Star Wars, A New Poke. That'll be available.
Okay.
That stars Grand Moff Tarkin, Princess Leia Orgasma, and Obi-Wan Kabone Me.
Okay.
You can check that out. If you like spanking, you'll love The Empire Strikes Backside.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Sure,
that's
I like that.
Spanking. That's Sounds a spanking good. Movie.
Right.
Spanking.
Right.
It's a fetish. People like to be spanked.
No, right? We understood, yeah.
Hey, speaking of the original films, have you seen Return of the Brown Eye?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nope, rather
You're
not.
I love it.
No.
Hey, you know, a lot of people make fun of the prequels.
Right.
Yeah, they were not well
received. George Lucas movie, the prequels, that people don't care about them. I care about them. I love them.
Okay.
In fact, I don't want to alienate anybody at Adult World. So we like to cater to the men too. Men who like men.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You'll love the Phantom Menace. That'll be good for you. Naboo Taboo. That's a good one too for the people who like the early ones.
Sure.
Like that. Sure.
Attack of the Bones. That? Star Wars Attack of the Bones.
You got a lot of movies.
You got a group sex movie that has to do with the prequels. Revenge of the Fifth. It's about a guy who shows up late to an orgy and they've already coupled up. What's he going to do? He's going to get revenge. That's not about a lube, it's super glue. It's okay. Revenge of the Fifth. You don't like that guy.
That sounds kind of terrible, but also kind of awesome.
A lot of characters are getting their own spinoff films, too, in the Star Wars universe. You know, they're talking about all these new movies coming out, these separately, you know, all these characters are getting their separate movies. We got separate movies, too. You want separate movies? We got separate movies.
We want separate movies.
How about a guy just pleasuring himself, taking care of himself. Well, you're going to love Han Solo. That's going to be popular. You like your girls on the heavy side. You like the plump ladies. Who doesn't like a plump lady? Then you're going to love Bonafat. Bonafat. Fat.
We get it.
Yep. I bet she's lovely.
We get it.
I bet you're going to enjoy Spewbacca.
Oh, no. I'm going to assume I'm not going to enjoy that.
How about BB-8 me?
Oh no!
No, please.
Hey, if you like your sex a little different, how about Jabba the Butt? And of course, for the ladies who like ladies, we have lastly Jar Jar Pinks. So I think everyone's gonna have a good time. Thanks to Adult World Pictures.
I always feel like I don't work hard enough when we have our next guest in studio with us. Henry Rollins is here, of course, famous musician and spoken word artist, activist, author, DJ. He does it all. He's got a new film coming out June 17th called The Last Heist. Mr. Rollins, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Oh, hey. Good to be back.
It's great to see you. Henry was telling us as he stepped in, I don't know how you even know what country you're in, but every 2 days it seems like you're swapping nations and you just happen to be in America today. This is a crazy schedule you're on.
Yeah, it's going to be like this. My tour started in late last year and I'll be bouncing around the world till February of next year. It's just, you know, it's what I'm used to. It's what I prefer, actually.
It is. You like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they travel that much, they just... It just grates
yeah,
on.
It's what I choose. Yeah. I mean, I'm 55. I've been living this way since I was 20. So it's conditioning. And, you know, I have a nice place here. It's cool. But after like 3 days, I want to go. I'd rather be.
You just get restless.
Yeah. I'm kind of spoiled. I like the whole world, not just one little
what are
street.
What are you running from?
Well, that's what people ask me. but, you know, that's a good question.
Boredom, maybe?
Yeah. Whenever I'm back off the road, and by my fourth day here, I just feel I've run out of ideas. And it's real life, you know, and I should be able to handle it. I guess I'm just not mature enough. And I just love being out in Europe or being in Australia or being on a plane or looking at a schedule going, tomorrow you're up at 3. You got to go. And it keeps me honest, keeps the blood thin, keeps my life interesting. So
The impression that I get from you, Henry, that's different from a lot of people who travel is that, you know, we talk to a lot of bands that come through here,
and they
see the venue and they see the hotel, and that's all they see. But I get the impression that you always figure out a way to make time to wade into the city or into the country that you're in and be among the people. Am I wrong about
that? As best I can. There are periods of time where, sadly, it's hotels, tour buses, airports, and the backs of venues. You never see the lobby. You come in through the loading dock, and then you leave via the loading dock. And that is the case a lot of times. But I do have the occasional day off, not many on this tour. And on those days, if there's a museum, if there's somewhere to go, yeah. But, you know, when I'm not on stage, like last year, I just did a bunch of TV and film stuff. But I traveled. I was in Antarctica. I was at Easter Island. I was in the rainforest of Ecuador learning about biodiversity. And so I travel all over the world by myself just to get information. So I'm not on stage. I'm just traveling. And I go through like Central Asia, all over Africa. I've been to about almost 100 countries. And a lot of that is not to be on stage. There's nothing for me to be on stage in Uzbekistan. But there's a lot to learn. So I went. Just me and a backpack and a camera.
I love that you talk about getting just dropped off somewhere. You grab some water and a protein bar.
Yep.
Hop in a cab if there is one and just say, go right.
Yep.
Or go left.
Yeah, give me $5 that way. And the guy says, well, why? I said, well, I'm going to go get lost. I got the address of the hotel. And either I'll make it back or I won't. And either way, it'll be interesting, right? And I've done that literally from here to Islamabad, Pakistan, where I was in Islamabad when Bhutto was assassinated. And it was like my second day there. I'm like, wow, the city's on fire. What's up? Oh. And it became an interesting week. The airport shut down, and I was stuck there until Pervez Musharraf eventually opened the airport and let me out. But I usually go alone for sometimes months at a time. Like if I'm not booked for 80 other things, I just load the backpack, pick five countries, and just jam out.
But Henry, you go to a lot of places where there's not much English. How do you navigate? How do you get around and communicate?
Be
with
really polite. Just be polite and don't use sunglasses.
You say don't?
Yeah. Just like if you're going to speak to a man in the Middle East, look him in the eye. Don't talk to his woman. You might be introduced. He doesn't really understand where you are and understand that this country might not see your country all that favorably. They might not like your country's policies. So tread lightly. Be very culturally aware, especially anywhere that is Islamic. You just don't walk up to one and go, hey, excuse me, can you help me get to this? Find a man. It's a cultural thing.
Right.
And if I lead with respect and genuine curiosity, and if you're genuinely curious, I walk into some like souk or a slum like in Indonesia somewhere, and if you go, hey, how does that work? And they're like, you really want to know? You're like, well, yeah, I do. Well, then come on in. And all of a sudden, someone's making you tea. And put it this way, I've been all over the world, and I've only had to run for my life a couple of times, and that was in America. The rest of the world has been, yeah. The rest of the world.
Because you've gone places that the government says don't go.
Yeah, North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, places like that. I was in a mortar attack in Baghdad years ago, but I was in a building that was like built to take a mortar attack. So I'm not trying to oversell this, but they said it's a USO tour. They go like, sir, in the next 20 minutes, sir, some idiot's going to lob a thing over the wall, sir. I said, okay, that's cool. And then like 20 minutes later, like clockwork, mortars landed outside the building. And it felt like a human fist punched you in the sternum, the concussion. And they said, that's the bomb, sir. I'm like, really? Yeah, I thought it was lunch. Like, yeah, I got it. But beyond that, the world's been...
okay, that's cool is a strange response.
Well, the soldiers were like, wow, sir, you're nuts. I'm like, nah, you know, I know that you're taking care of me. They're not going to let the talent get blown up. But otherwise, the world has been incredibly friendly to me. Like, I was in Iran for a week. And I went there with like $400 in Iranian, like, rial, whatever the currency is. No one would let me spend money. I'd go into a restaurant. They're like, no, thank you for visiting us.
Really?
Thanks for not judging us. Oh, yeah. It was insanely friendly.
And you talk to a lot of people. You actually go out of your way to talk to people.
Yeah. I hang out. You want to meet people, go to the marketplace. Because people want to sell you stuff. My friend, come in. And, like, they're pouring you tea. So you buy something to be respectful. And they'll tell you anything. You know, like, okay, you got elections coming up, but what do you reckon? Like, well, my friend, and you know, someone will tell you something you're not going to get on CNN for sure.
Henry, how difficult was you to, for you to get in and out of North Korea? Because we were
that was
told
a visa that,
got...
that took 3 years.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and the first time I was in Australia, my road manager said, you just got approved for North Korea. And then at the last minute, the last person who was okaying me recognized my name and said, we can't put you in there. It's too risky. If you get recognized, you know, movies, TV, whatever, it could get touchy. And we just can't risk it.
So the problem is any level of fame at that point.
Yep, any yeah. level of notoriety. Uh-huh. And so we tried again, and I got in, but I had to sign a waiver that if you get in hot water, because if they find out you wrote a book or you're in a movie, they're going to want to talk to you. You might not get out of that fast. And you have to sign this waiver, and as soon as you sign it, you get to go, but you're on your own. And I went, and the problem was there was some Australians there, some Europeans, and they recognized me. Ooh. And so we're going to tourist places. It's all very guided and propagandized. But the Brits are going, you know, hey, Henry. And my tour guide went from, I don't know much English, to pitch perfect English. He went from, Henry, to, why does that guy know you? And his whole tone of voice changed. And I'm not good at lying. So I'm like, I met him in the breakfast room, and he likes to talk to me. And then the Australian tourists recognize me, and they all want photos. So I had to find one of them, get away from my tour guide, find him, and go like, you got to cool your friends out. Because yeah. here's what I'm up against. And he briefed them, and they all left me alone.
Wow. And why was it so important for you to go to North Korea?
Because I want to see places. I'm Johnny Quest.
And, I feel like because they said no.
Well,
I sort of feel that.
Yeah,
there's a little of that.
There's a bit of that, and also if you want to really learn about any culture or country, a documentary is nice, but it's just an introduction. You got to go so you can know, and that's I inform myself that way by getting my feet on the ground and going. So.
Henry Rollins is here. We have so much more to talk about, including his new film, which is called The Last Heist. It's in theaters and on video on demand on June 17th. Quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Henry Rollins in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. HenryRollins.com to keep up with all the things that he's doing with his essays and with his radio show and so much more, including his new film, which is called The Last Heist. Now, we're a few weeks out of this one coming out, June 17th. And as usual, you are an intimidating presence on screen, my friend.
I always get the bad guy parts.
Yeah, you're a serial killer this time around?
Yeah, well, a serial killer with a religious fervor.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold. don't leave him with your kids. No. My guy's idea is that if he extracts people's eyes, he will send them to heaven. And so I'm doing you a favor, and the only thing that inconveniences my day is you keep wriggling, going, ow, ow, you're ripping my eyes out. And so I go into a place to deposit my eyeballs. Meanwhile, that building, the safety deposit building, is being robbed. Unbeknownst to me, it's being robbed. And so while bad guys and good guys are killing each other, I'm killing all of them. And so it's a film within a film. And so while I'm not on set, there's SWAT trucks and cops and men running around going, you know, Iceberg 9, go to the roof. My experience in the film was quiet rooms and me quietly killing people. And so I didn't meet most of the cast until the rap party because I was...
Were they all afraid of you?
Well, no, they're all nice people. But I missed all the big 8 cop cars pulling up parts because I'm in small rooms going, hello. And it was an interesting shoot because I hardly met anyone.
Wow.
Because I just kill a few people and then I get all the money and leave. I win.
What's appealing? What's appealing to you about a role like that?
I'll be very honest with you, as always. They offered it to me.
Okay.
I get offers for scripts now and then, and if I think I can be an asset to the production, if it looks interesting, where I can do something cool, I'll go in for the meeting or go in for the audition. If I read the script and go, this is not me, I'll pass politely. But they offered me this part, and I looked at it, and I said, let me meet the director. I have an idea for this character. I want to do it this way. If he likes it, I'll do it. If he doesn't like my idea, I want to hear his idea. So I met Mike Mendez, a great director. I said, here's my idea. He's smiley, he's friendly, and totally sick. And he went, I like that!
Yeah, that's what's so scary about that character.
Yeah.
You're nice, you're happy.
Yeah, and I got a knife.
And you have a knife.
And so Mike liked the idea, and that was
Mike who made Lavalantula and Big Ass Spider, by the way.
Yeah, and he's a really fun guy. And he liked my idea, and it was kind of sort of his idea as well. He's like, yeah, he's friendly, and so... He came up with the stylized look he gave me for the thing. So we got along. And I said yes, but that's why I do film, is when I'm off the road and I get a cool offer. I have three films out this year. He Never Died is one that's the promotion's just finishing. And one I wrote that is that's the one called Gutter Dameron with Lemmy and Iggy and Slash and Grace Jones and me and members of the Queens of the Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal, etc.
As actors or as musicians?
As actors.
Oh,
it's amazing. Yeah, it's we have Lemmy in the film. It's one of the last things he did.
No kidding.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he looks so good in it. It's amazing. And so
when does that come out?
That rolls out next week in Germany, and I'm going to be out there to premiere with it. It's going to roll out at a festival, so I'll be in and out of Europe all summer with that thing.
And you wrote that one too?
I wrote it. Yeah, I wrote the screenplay.
So you thought, hey, why not have all my musician friends act in it?
Well, yeah, me and the creator of the whole thing, the guy hired me to write it, he and I got in touch with all these people and said, hey, be in our crazy film, and they all said yes, thankfully.
That's amazing. Yeah. By the way, you talked about Lemmy, who you were friends with.
Yeah.
This year, it's no secret, has been a kick to the gut for music fans.
It's been really rough.
It's been horrible. And some giants, you know, Merle Haggard and David Bowie and Prince and all the rest.
And John Stabb of the great D.C. area punk rock band G.I., he passed away about a week ago.
Who, by the way, I knew well. As you know, Henry, I'm from back there, too.
Yep.
We worked in record stores together, yeah, so I knew John well.
And but John's a good guy.
A great guy. We've lost so many, and I wonder, a guy like you who's so thoughtful, do you spend much time thinking of mortality?
Not my own. I'm kind of crazy in that I don't really care when I go. In that, you know, it's what I get out of it. Why worry about it? But it's when other people go. I grieve very hard. Like when Bowie died, I was in Newcastle, UK, and I woke up. I was on a tour bus, and I open up the internet. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I was sitting. I think I would have fallen on the ground. My legs went out. And I had to be on stage that night. It was very difficult. I didn't want to do the show. I just want to sit and kind of freak out quietly to myself. But I got it together. And I was lucky. I saw Lemmy a couple of months before he passed away last year. Just luckily, I was in the same hotel with Motorhead, and his assistant found me. And I said, tell Lemmy I want to talk to him. He goes, no, he knows you're here. He wants to talk to you, too. Because we've been pals for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I got to hang out with Lemmy one last time. And it's tough when these people go, because they have a sense of immortality. You never think of a world without David Bowie or a world without Prince. I mean,
absolutely.
Come on. And so when they go, as we all eventually do, it shakes you. But as far as my own mortality, I've almost been killed a couple of times, and it's trippy. It's psychedelic when you're almost there. But I don't really think – I don't trip on it. I don't
think
about it.
Well, part of the reason I asked you, Henry, that question instead of someone else is because you're a guy who seems to squeeze every drop out of every day.
It
seems like you are really not wasting much time.
No. And the older I get, the more urgent everything becomes.
What's left on your list that you haven't been able to do?
I'd like to – there's a lot of geographical points I want to get to, a lot of places in Central Africa I haven't been to. I want to get to Chad. I want to get to Western Sudan. I've been to South Sudan, but not the western part, like Darfur. And so there's a lot of travel, basically, I want to do.
When you go to so many places that have so much poverty and drought and so many problems with disease and overcrowding and everything else, does it make you think differently about America's role in the world?
Yeah. Makes you take a shorter shower. It makes you makes you very humble and very grateful. The Western world, we're so lucky. America is one beautiful slice of real estate. When you go to other parts of the world where people are eating food, they don't know where it came from. And the water is like full of mosquito larvae. And I've been to some parts of Africa where life is not certain. And I was going up the Niger River one time on my way to Timbuktu with a Tuareg guy named Mahmoud, who I traveled with for 2 years on and off. And he smoked like a chimney. I said, Mahmoud, why do you smoke so much, man? And he said, I'm 36. I was supposed to be dead like 5 years ago. I'm, you know, because the life expectancy of the Tuareg male, it's not great. And so when you meet people like that, and then like 4 days later, you're driving your car down Sunset Boulevard, and you're like, man, I got to be part of something that promotes life, not promotes the end of it.
Tell me if you also experienced this. I was lucky enough to go to Kenya, and there's
beautiful,
crushing,
right?
Yeah, beautiful, yeah. But crushing poverty as well.
Yeah.
But the kids, the children, are so happy. Yep. Their smile is so just, they're so radiating joy.
They live in the present.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's unsure.
You look at that and you go, well, they must be miserable because they have to walk literally 5 miles to school. But they're perfectly happy and
yep.
running around playing. I mean, it's really something.
Yep. I meet these buoyant children all over Africa. You go to Bangladesh, the kid, a lot of street kids, and they're just like, you know, something out of a Oliver Twist. You know, they're just really amazing. Yeah, I've met kids all over the world. I take a lot of photos, and with some kids, they see the camera, and they all start acting out. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's amazing. These kids, like, they're soccer balls, a bunch of plastic bags tied into a circle, you know, into a sphere. Yeah, I've played with all these kids in Haiti. I was visiting orphanages there a couple of years ago, and they're just happy with nothing.
They're not defined by
exactly
their
they're
surroundings.
They're not defined by their surroundings or by their material possessions.
And I get, when you talk like that, what a culture shock it is to come back home for you.
Yeah, no, it's strange. It's like getting off an airplane with the dust of the pyramids from Giza, Egypt, on your boots. It's psychedelic. It's surreal.
Wow. I've never experienced that. I got to be honest.
No, it's just strange to like be in India and like 26 hours later be staggering out of a plane at LAX going, did I just see a body on fire at a crematorium 3 days ago? Did that just happen?
Is like, the answer to that yes?
Yeah, uh-huh. I've seen that a couple of times, yeah.
This is the life of Henry Rollins, you guys. HenryRollins.com. The Last Heist comes out on demand on iTunes on June 17th. And the other film, pronounce that one for me again, the one we looked at.
Gutter Dammerung.
And why'd you call it that, Henry?
Because it's a play on the term Gutter Dammerung, which I guess is Wagner. And this is our amazing director, creator, Bjorn. He said, we're going to name it Gutter Dammerung. I'm like, oh, you're smart. That's funny.
Well, I am not smart enough to get that, but I can't wait for the movie. It sounds great. Always a thrill to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much
Thank
for coming
you
by.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to make a note to not have Henry Rollins in anymore.
Because?
Why not? Because every time he comes in, I realize I do nothing and I know nothing.
But not having him on isn't going to change that.
That's correct.
You're still going to do nothing and know nothing and have nothing.
That's true. Let's have Henry back on the line. All right. You turned me around. I feel so much better. Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome.
You're being a little oblique, Ralph. You like it or you don't like
it? Opposed to the other guy.
Because
it's awful and it makes me insane.
It's great.
Oh, my God. You are the worst.
I'm not the worst.
You're wrong.
Here's what I think happens. I think Bean hears Ralph's point of view
mm-hmm.
and then just takes the opposite side. It's untrue.
That may be the formula.
Let me reset.
To our successful marriage.
All right.
Let me reset for folks who have no idea what we're talking about here. Is Ralph came in yesterday all fired up. We were talking about the most popular Christmas songs. There are a couple of charts have come out lately, and it's been an interesting discussion. And he pointed out a song that he hates. For some crazy, unbeknownst reason that I cannot figure out, because it's a wonderful, beautiful song that's been around for like 25 years. It's been recorded by everybody from CeeLo Green to Mary J. Blige to the great Clay Aiken, by the way.
Well, there you go.
It's called Mary, Did You Know? And I know a lot of our listeners know and love that song. But, Ralph, before we play some of it, what's your biggest problem with it? Who hurt you?
It's ludicrous.
No, he has not recorded it at all. Pentatonix may be the version you're thinking of, but not
Ludacris. Ludacris is an artist, Ralph.
It's an imaginary conversation between the singer and the Virgin Mary talking about, hey, Mary, did you have any idea your kid was going to grow up to be so cool and cure those blind dudes and turn that water into wine? Did you have any idea how awesome your kid was going to be? So the premise is the singer's having a conversation with Mary talking about, hey, looking back over the life of your kid Jesus, could you imagine when you first had him in that manger that he was going to be such a wild success?
All right, Bean,
you think he was going to grow up to be such a huge guy? It's insane.
Is Ralph right so far?
Is that the premise of the song?
Right.
The premise of the song is the singer is singing to the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Yes. But what's happening here is that the story of the baby Jesus, and by the way, let's not forget he's the reason for the season, is the greatest story ever told. And when you think about the magnitude of being the person who gives birth to the Savior, I think that would be tough for any woman to get her head around.
Right. And if she was around to talk to, this would make sense.
If this wasn't a made-up conversation, if this wasn't some sort of musical People magazine article where they go back and talk to the mother of the star to see what was it like when he was a kid. Did you see any inklings that maybe he's going to grow up to be such a superstar? What the serious F?
is all the right, point.
So, Kevin, you've not heard the song at all.
I haven't.
Right?
I don't think I have either.
You must have heard this.
I mean, maybe I haven't.
If you heard it, it would never. You would never stop. Your ears would smell it forever.
All right. Which version? Which version do we have? What are we playing?
Big ears. So there's a lot of smelling.
Are we doing pentatonics here?
I don't know.
We don't know. Does it matter? Can I just
well,
play the
just
song?
Crap. Whoever does it, it's crap.
Let's hear a little bit of Mary, Did You Know, Ralph's favorite Christmas.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
So far, I'm with Ralph.
Thank you.
So
it's
far,
total
this is terrible.
BS.
It's cool. It's cool, Jesus.
Mary, did you know he'd be so cool he could walk on water? Did you know he would turn down a date with my daughter?
Look, I know pentatonics.
She's all holy and doesn't date much.
But these lyrics are very touching, I think.
You're touched in the head is where you're touched.
All right, let's hear a little more, then I want to hear what Allie thinks.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
See what they did there? The
yes.
twist.
The child
you delivered him. He's going to deliver you. Boom, boom. Drop
evil.
The pentatonics mic.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know?
No.
You kiss the face of God.
Yeah, you kiss the face of God, yo.
What do you think, Allie?
It's not for me.
It's not for anyone.
I feel like all my years of Catholic school allows me to say that.
Thank you.
That is not great.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the question.
It's the most treacly ridiculous concept of, now let's interview the mother of the of Jesus, Mary. Mary, did you know? Back then, that you would be kissing the face of God when you kissed your
like
child.
Smells like donkey ass.
Right. Here's a quick answer. No, she did not
put
know.
You down. I'm going to put you down as a yes on Mary, Did You Know? But let's talk about the phone topic here, because we're asking you for the song that the Christmas song that drives you crazy the way this one mistakenly drives Ralph crazy. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Is this your least favorite Christmas song, would you say, of popular ones that you hear on the radio?
It's not my least favorite.
It's top three. Top three.
Okay.
It's the top three. One that's not being sung by a child or a chipmunk.
That's mine.
What's yours, Kevin?
Mine is.
How
dare you?
The chipmunk.
It's time for joy and time for cheer.
I know the song. I know the lyrics. But the chipmunks.
I hear you.
Oh, I
but
hate
even
the chipmunks.
That being said, chipmunks. Still better than Mary. Did you know your cool kid was gonna cure blind people?
Nope. Yeah. So you're driving home
yep.
today, and
that
Coach
song,
Steph, Coast is on the radio like it is, and that song comes
it's not on.
Not
on my radio.
You hit the button?
Yeah, in a second.
You don't turn it up and root for Alvin to get his hula hoop?
Root for Alvin to get his hula hoop.
Come on!
Those words were just said.
They're adorable, those little chipmunks.
By the way, he is a horribly behaved little chipmunk and does not deserve a Christmas
he's
present.
Pretty nice.
Here's how much of this song I get before I change the radio. Boom! I'm on to another station. What's on someplace else?
All right. 1-800-520-1067. You've heard what the bad men have to say. What's your least favorite Christmas song, the one that drives you crazy? You dread it coming on the radio every year at this time. We'll take your calls next. Right after this on K-Rock.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Pretty cool trick, isn't it, Mary? How did he do it when he was a baby? Did he walk on a path when he was a child? Or was he have to be grown up before he got superpowers?
Played that one for Nicole here on the world famous K-Rock 106.
Just when I thought I could not love her
some
more.
KRQ.
What? she brings
but she
it
doesn't,
home.
She doesn't enjoy Christmas wrapping, so she's a bad person.
She's
and
the
she's
best
wrong.
Person.
Oh, how dare you.
You forgot cranberries, too? Punch!
I mean, what are the chances?
That's how that song should end. Punch it in the face with a can of cranberries.
Such a good song.
All right, to me, there are two categories. There is the Christmas song that you hate instantly, and then there are a lot of Christmas songs where you've heard them so much you can't take them anymore. Yeah. I feel like there's two categories.
That's
there.
True.
Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about the Christmas song. You can't hit the button fast enough to stop it from invading your ear holes. And why don't we start with Laura? She's in Tustin. She's on line one to get us going, and I've got her back. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's the worst Christmas song of all time?
Absolutely, without a doubt, the mother effing Christmas shoes.
Amen, mother.
She's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
Laura, you have you have no soul and you have no heart.
No, there's so much wrong with that song. It's hard to even know where to begin.
Because of all the wonderful lessons it teaches you about the Christmas season? Is that what's wrong with it?
No, but it doesn't. You see, first of all, like, why is the kid off buying shoes as opposed to being with his dying mother? Second of all...
Because he's trying to give her one last moment of happiness. That's why.
No.
Why do you hate your mother, Laura? That's what we really need to get down to.
Why do you hate your mother?
Why do you hate your own mother?
And why do you hate the baby Jesus?
Right.
No, I love the baby... See, here's the thing. The baby Jesus doesn't care if mom has pretty shoes. Baby Jesus is going to love mom anyway.
The kid doesn't know that. The kid knows that Christmas presents equal love. That's in the little kid's mind.
And the kid should meet Jesus, too.
And the guy standing in line behind the kid is he's all consumed with himself, and he hears that story, and he pays for the rest of the money the kid needs for the shoes.
Why do we have to make it about him? Why can't we make it like, oh, hey, and then the nice shoe salesman said, oh, it's okay, kid. You can take the shoes to your mom. No, the dude writing the song and singing it turns it all back around on himself and is like, whoa, look how cool I am.
Because he learned an important lesson.
Laura.
He learned an important lesson about love and Christmas.
All right. Everybody, look at me.
All right.
Oh, you're awful.
Laura, you're 100% correct. Here's what I can say, Laura. Love the passion.
All right. Let's try Glendale, please. Line two. This is going to be Sarah up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're talking about your least favorite Christmas song. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I freaking hate Baby, It's Cold Outside.
What?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
What do you hate?
Classic.
I agree.
What do you hate about that song?
It's like the rapiest song ever. Dude won't let her leave.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting stuff in her drink.
It's super
like,
creepy.
He's not putting stuff in her drink.
He is.
Did you say it's the rapiest song ever?
Yeah. Like, he's like, there's nothing I love more than a, like, great Yule log and a Rupee Cocoa, you know?
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Okay, I can see that. He's just trying to convince her to stick around. She really wants to stay anyway.
No, it's pretty rapey.
It's super rapey.
It has not aged well.
I think rape is in the eye of the beholder.
It's gross.
All right, all right. Let's try Costa Mesa,
creepy as creepy does.
Let's try Jessica Line 3. She's up next with a stone-cold Christmas classic that she's about to rain on.
All right. Hi, Jessica.
Classic. It's five words repeated over and over again.
Oh, really?
What is it? Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas. That is the world's most annoying song. It's worse than It's a Small World.
Esquire came out with their 10 worst Christmas songs, and this is the worst.
Really?
According to them as well.
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
You've heard the whole song.
It's really when Paul entered his lazy period.
Yes.
Yeah.
That song,
he would put any phrase to music and then just put some sleigh bells behind it.
Right? And then it just repeats for seven minutes.
Yeah, it's awful. You're absolutely right. That is awful.
You're right, Jessica. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. By the way, we don't have anyone on the phones, but I had a number of people, including blah, blah, blah on Twitter, who says, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
This is the other one for me.
Blah, blah, blah writes it and says, I will change the station anytime that comes on. No hippopotamus for you, little girl. Could we hear a taste of that?
Just a taste, though, because we don't want him to go away.
Right.
All right, here you go.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah, that kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was 11 when she sang that, by the way.
Santa needs to choke that kid out.
The only good.
You guys are awful.
The only
only good part of that song is that hippopotamuses kill more people than lions do in Africa. So you know if she gets one, it's going to wreck her. It's going to murder her, which will be awesome.
Let's take one more. See the blood. Covina, please. Let's get Phoebe on the air. She's on line six. She's going to have the final word on the worst Christmas song ever.
Hey, Phoebe.
Hi.
Hi there. Worst Christmas song of all time.
Definitely, Grandma's Gonna Get Run Over by a Reindeer.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Is that, did you hate that instantly, or is it just because of the repetition?
It's instant. Why would you want to hear about a grandma getting run over?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
At least he's a brilliant musician.
Say there's no such thing as Santa.
That voice.
See, because... But as for me and Grandpa, we believe...
See, they wanted her to
die.
Yeah,
Grandma was a bitch.
Do you get it, Phoebe? She was a terrible person.
I love the fact at least it has that redneck quality to it, too. That really just makes it particularly awful.
All right. I think we've helped a lot of people put their playlist together for the holidays, I think.